you'll turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 13. I know. When you hear that, you automatically think of the love chapter. And what does an 18-year-old college student know about love? Well, not too much. But I will try and be faithful to the Word of God tonight and try and share His Word. So let's open in a word of prayer. Dear Lord, I thank You for this day, and thank You for allowing me to come up here and share Your Word. Lord, I pray that You'd use it to challenge and convict and ultimately to glorify You. I pray that everything I say would be used to the furtherance of Your kingdom. In Your name I pray. Amen. Well, how many of you who have a spouse would call your spouse at some point in time love or my love? Anybody? Yep, some of you. My dad raised his hand, and picking on him because he always picks on me, so I must say his name sometime up here. But he calls my mom his love sometimes, especially like if she asks a question and he wants to say that, you know, it's up to her. He'll say, "I don't know, my love. That's totally up to you." And so he says that sometimes. But she's not really the person of love. Who really is the person of love? Of course, I'm sure all of you could answer that, but don't, because I'm going to. So, but I want you to see that you must remember who the person of love is and share that love with everyone. So, first I want to see the importance of love. When we think of key essentials to the Christian life, we think of, right off the bat, probably someone would think of faith, and they put it way up there. Well, you know, we do put it up there, and we'd say, love, yeah, it's up there. It's probably like right under faith if we didn't read this text. But, you know, in verse 2 of 1 Corinthians 13, it says, "And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing." That's been a challenge to me so many times, that the love for others like Christ loved us is so important that even faith is below it. But it's almost that if we need faith and we need love and we need them both together. And if we don't have the love, then the faith is worthless. But if we don't have the faith but we have the love, well, we can't really have the love, then it's worthless too. So the faith without the love is so important. So we see that love is more important than faith. And also, love is more important than gifts. Same verse, it says, "And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have faith so that I could remove mountains," and so on. It talks about the gift of prophecy. If I'm not mistaken, the gift of prophecy was one of the gifts that was held the highest, one of the most important to the people there. And it mentions it here as without this charity or this love, it's nothing. And then verse 3 talks about, "And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing." My dad mentioned or preached on a few weeks ago about giving and how important that is, and how Christ and Matthew assumes that we will be giving and giving to the poor, and how that's so needy. But not even that is more important than love. The love conquers it all, if you will. But then it says, "Though I give my body to be burned." We think of missionaries, great missionaries that were martyred for the cause of Christ, and we put them so high. And how how they gave the ultimate sacrifice for Christ. And they probably did because of their love for him. But without the love, it wouldn't mean anything. What if I, my mom's not here so I can pick on her too. What if I came home with, a dozen roses for my mom and I said, it's Mother's Day, here. And then I said, that's what the store said that you were supposed to get was flowers for Mother's Day. So I got it. And it was on a good deal, so I saved money. That's funny because it would mean nothing. She wouldn't even want them. The flowers would she'd probably throw them away. That would be disgusting to her. Isn't it the same way with us? Don't we come to church? Could I be standing up here preaching because it's just an opportunity to do something? Or could I sing because just an opportunity to do something instead of an actual love for Christ? And I'm not saying that we should take away the things that we serve. We just need to get the right kind of love. So love is very, very important. But also, let's look at the description of love. So this love is really, really important. So what is it? First of all, in verse 4, it says that charity suffereth long and is kind. So charity is long-suffering. The dictionary says that long-suffering is long and patient endurance of injury or trouble. So that person that always hurts you with their words or physically, maybe they punch you every time they see you, I don't know. Do you love them? Do you continually give the love to them? Show Christ's love through you to them? Or is it just, after a while it's just, okay, you're done. That's not the way we're supposed to be, and that's not the kind of love that we're talking about here. And it says, and kind. Almost all of us would know the verse, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Just one of the most popular verses. But do we mean it? Do we do it? Sometimes those little statements that you say can stab and leave a wound, and it can hurt really bad. Someone said that a mean statement or an angry attitude is like putting a nail in a fence and then taking it out. It still leaves the hole. And sometimes I think we forget that we don't need to be kind just to the cashier at Walmart or to our waitress or waiter. We need to be kind to each other in our church. Sometimes we can be the harshest to each other. And that's not the kind of love that Christ wants us to show. And then in verse 4, it says, charity envieth not. This was a big one. It's been a recent struggle for me. It's just when someone else gets praise that I think I deserve, man, that just wells up inside of me, and I have to keep correcting it. And it's hard. It comes up, and you just want to give into it and dwell on that all day. They said that Aaron sang better than I did, and I'm really upset about that. And, I think I sang louder, and I sounded better. We do that. We think of that kind of stuff in our head, although we never say it. But it comes into our head, and we think, I do have a better voice. Or you can pick your thing. Maybe, she said that my dress was prettier, or her dress was prettier, and mine was new from Christmas, and she didn't say anything about my dress, or just piddly stuff that can come up that we just choose to dwell on, and love is not envious. But really closely related to this is not puffed up. In verse 4 it says, charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Man, this one's a hard one. Everybody in here can struggle with pride. And man, it's right there connected with the envy, because if someone else got your praise that you think you deserved, or maybe you legitimately did deserve, and you think that I deserve that, it's all about me, or maybe you think I can't do anything, I'm just nothing, and I'll never be anything for God because I'm just waste of bone and flesh, and I just can't do anything. You hear how many times I said I? It's just overwhelming. That's pride too, and it's easier to detect the other kind of pride because it's so out there and in your face. But the more subtle kind sometimes can be just underlying there. So we've seen the importance of love and the description of love. But now let's focus a little bit on the person of love. In John 14:6, which I would try and quote it, but I'm nervous, so I won't, because I'll probably forget it. It says, "Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." So who is he? Well, he's the way, the truth, and the life. And we can see his love all through Scripture. And sometimes we focus on the New Testament and him coming to earth, and certainly that's a huge showing of his love. But all through the Old Testament, man, he begs Israel, don't go away from me. Please, I don't want to have to judge you. And I'm going to judge you. Please come back to me. And he just shows his love all through that. And they rejected him, but he still loved them. That would be long-suffering. And just all the things that he did. But then in the New Testament, you see how he cares for people and how he saw the city and wept for it. Just the love that he had. He would come and heal the lame person and people that couldn't speak or couldn't hear, couldn't see. God would come and heal. And what love did he show? Those people, I'm sure, would sin after that. Some of the people he healed, I know he healed of leprosy, and they didn't even thank him. And the love he showed, but obviously we know that the most love he showed was through him coming and dying on the cross. And how could we talk about his love without talking about that? Does it get old to you? I hope not. Sometimes I find myself going over it in my mind, yeah, he died on the cross and he rose again. And how apathetic. No, he really did. This is God in human form coming to earth to die for you. And Mrs. Barrick sometimes says in her teaching at Bible Club, if you were the only person on earth, he would still come to die for you. Wow. What a thought that God would still love you that much. And I don't think we can talk about his love without going to John 3:16 and reading that verse with thought. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God did that for you. He came, and he loves you. And I'd hate to think of someone in this audience here that was not saved. How much you've heard. I don't see very many new faces, so you've heard the word so much. That God loves you, and he wants you to come to him. And what about you, Christian? Do you go throughout your day showing Christ's love? What did you do today that demonstrated Christ through you? Were you a mirror of Christ's love? Not a smudgy, dirty mirror, but a perfect picture of who he is. I know I wasn't, and I should have been. And God wants us to show his love to the lost, yes, but I'm seeing more and more that the most hateful people in our world is people who claim to be Christians. And how wrong that is. we should show Christ's love to every person. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for coming and dying for us, Lord. We can never thank you enough. Even all the service and debt that we could try and pay is still not enough. Lord, I thank you for all the love you showed to us today and the blessings of this past year and what you've given us and blessings that I know you'll bestow on us this next year, Lord. I pray that you would be glorified and that this message would work in hearts as it's worked in mine. In your name I pray. Amen.